Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Now, tonight we've got a really great night. We've got Phil Glasgow. Phil's been a member of our church for ages. He helps us lead the place. He's not just a brilliant mind in terms of what he does in his normal job, but also has got an incredible heart for God and has a sensitivity to what God has sent us as a church family here at Exchange, but also, I believe, very strongly, a voice that is much wider and much broader, actually one for this whole city, this whole nation and beyond. So it's my great pleasure to introduce to you tonight Dr. Phil, as we like to call him, not that one, but he's going to come and he's going to bring a great word. And then I'm going to have a conversation with him later on about what God has sent us right now and what this time is like. So enjoy it. Let the Holy Spirit put these words deep into your heart because you're going to be blessed. It's going to be great.
Good evening. It's so good to be with you here on a Wednesday evening to share some thoughts and to just connect with us as a church family. It's strange times, isn't it? It's been a weird few weeks. A lot of changes to the rhythm of our lives, hasn't it? Our daily routine. Our daily routine, well, during school time anyway, involves a bit of Joe Wicks in the morning, kids doing some exercise, bit of homeschooling, which I have to say I'm feeling miserably at. Thankfully, Heather, my wife's doing a much better job on that. That changes in our connections, our ability to connect to each other. Our activity and our work has changed. Now we're not meeting with people. We've got Zoom conferences and calls and Skype and FaceTime. Actually, we have to make different choices, don't we? We choose to do things differently. We can't just choose to go out and to meet with people or to go wherever we want. We have to take into account all of these regulations that are in place, and they're so important, aren't they? But in all of this, how do we respond? How do we respond as the people of God, as the church? How can we respond? And what's God saying? What has he got for us in this time? You know, as has been said so many times, this hasn't taken God by surprise. He knew this was coming, and he has put stuff in place, I'm completely convinced, for us during this, that we can thrive, that we can prepare for what's ahead of us, and we can really enjoy this time. I know that sounds strange in the middle of such a crisis, and it's a challenging time for so many people, but God's got something for you. And so today we live in a world where the lines between what you do and who you are blurred like they've never been before. For many people, their online life has even become more real than their actual life, and that's maybe accentuated at this stage. We live in a world where there is an epidemic of mental illness, of anxiety and depression, of people who are unsure of who they are and where they're going. We try constantly to keep up with everything, and that existential angst of never doing enough, never having enough, and never being enough is with us all the time, perhaps typified, if you like, on the scrolling endlessly on social media. Do you ever sit down on Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, and you scroll through and you think, I've caught up now? I'm right up to time. And then, do you know what happens, though? By the time you've gotten caught up, there's still more to scroll, isn't there? You never catch up. So many things to take our attention. So many things for us to respond to. So many things that can immerse and just can eat away at our time. But I believe that at this time of social isolation, this time we have an opportunity individually and collectively to listen to what God is saying to us for now and to prepare for the future in a remarkable way. You know, I really love to climb. I love to go to the outdoors. I love to go to the wilderness. A number of years ago, it's actually just about this time of the year it was, a number of years ago, before we had kids, I was away with a few friends in California. We went to Yosemite National Park, which, if you've never been, it's the most breathtaking place you're likely to visit. I went with my friends one day, and I really wanted to go and climb Half Dome, which is a famous rock in Yosemite, and my friends didn't want to go, so I thought it would be an opportunity for me to do that by myself, to find some time on my own to go away. And so I thought, I'll go out, I'll take a bivy bag, I'll sleep rough in the wilderness, I'll get a chance to connect with the wilderness, to connect with God, and have a great time. So it was middle of April, and I was there. And that's the sort of time as well, though, where the bears who have been hibernating all winter, waking up. And I'll never forget it. I put my sleeping bag down beside a fallen tree. I thought, oh, that's great. Then I went away from that. I thought, I'll cook my dinner now. I'll get something to eat. It'll be great. So as you know, bears have a pretty good sense of smell. So they can smell up to 20 miles or more away the food you're cooking. So I made sure I went as far away as I could. I cooked my dinner. It's dark at night. I had a head torch on. I just finished my last bit of food. And I can remember hearing the cracking of branches. Well, I have to say, I've never been as frightened in my life. And at that moment, I thought, oh, please, Lord, I'm gone. This bear is coming. I'm his supper. And the next thing, these four people appeared from out of the undergrowth, essentially. And four English people who just randomly turned up. And I got talking to them, and it turned out they were four English guys who had been at a Buddhist retreat in San Francisco, had made their journey to Yosemite to go to the wilderness to find themselves. But they had been lost for 3 days, actually. And so they came across me and said, oh, we're so glad to see you. We haven't seen anyone in 3 days. We have no idea where we are. Can you help me out? And I said, well, yeah, sure, I can show you where you are. But I was just about to light a fire. To be honest, I was quite happy to see them because of the bears. And so lit a fire. I had a chat with him. We had a great conversation that night. We shared things of faith. We talked about God. There was one girl who said, do you know what? This isn't for me. I know there's more to life than this. And I'm only here because my boyfriend wanted me to be here. So it caused a bit of a domestic between those guys. But we sat for a couple of hours. I got an opportunity to share my faith. We talked about the need to connect with God. And in that place, then I pointed them in the right direction. They headed off that night. They found a river, went back to the valley floor. I never had any contact with them again. But I thought, wasn't it amazing? They went to the wilderness to find themselves. And they got lost. But then I laughed about that, and then I thought, hang on a second. God made sure that they found someone who could share the gospel, the good news of Christ with them. And I can remember that night climbing into my bag, sleeping bag, looking at a starry sky like stars I've never seen, no artificial light, standing, or rather lying there, looking up at the stars. And the more you looked, the more stars appeared in the sky. It was just the most wonderful sense of God's presence out there in the wilderness. And it's not a coincidence that when you turn to the Bible, that wilderness plays such a powerful role in the story of God's people. So many times in the wilderness, God meets his people. He speaks to them. He shares and reveals something of himself. In fact, the Hebrew word in the Old Testament that's used for wilderness almost 300 times is a word called midbar. And actually, it's exactly the same word as the word for word or mouth or speech. So in the wilderness, we see the word coming and speaking. And here in the wilderness, God wants to reveal. You might feel like you're in a bit of a wilderness tonight. You might feel like you've been put in a deserted place, removed away from people. Well, God wants to speak to his people in the wilderness. He wants to reveal who he is, to show you who you are, and to prepare you for what's ahead. And I really believe that God's speaking to us now, that in this place of wilderness, in this desertion, if you like, that we've having to experience at this moment in time, that there's a place of sanctuary and guidance. There's a place of worship and a place of covenant. There's a place of revelation and a place of calling for you. And that's something that I really would love to unpack, even over these next few weeks. But how relevant is that for us today? I don't know about you, but my schedule is busy. And the busyness and the hectic nature of life, where I am constantly plugged in to a phone, unable to switch off, do you know what it does is, I've been really aware the last few weeks, that it just closes off your senses. It dulls your ears to that still, small voice of God. Soren Kierkegaard said that the press of busyness is like a charm. Its power swells and it takes over your life. Just running from pillar to post. Does anybody feel like life is busy? I really believe that God has intersected in your life now and given you more space. Well, you don't have to rush to be places. You don't have to sit in the commute every day. And that in this is a birthplace of a wholly new relationship between God and his people. A relationship that is consummated in the solitude alone with God, where he is revealed, where we are reshaped and recommissioned to a life for him. The Jewish writer Erich Voegelin said that when the world becomes desert, man is at last in the solitude in which he can hear the thundering voice of the Spirit with its urgent whispering that has already driven and rescued him from the grave. When the world becomes desert, man is at last in the solitude in which he can hear the thundering voice of the Spirit, which is with its urgent whispering that has already driven and rescued him from the grave. God is drawing us. There's a beautiful series of verses in the book of Hosea, chapter 2, and verses 14 through 16. And this is God speaking to his people. He says, "Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. Listen to this. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. In that day, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master." And I believe that in this wilderness, if you like, God is drawing us, alluring us, leading us there to speak tenderly to us, to change the nature of our relationship to him, of one of a master and one to one of a spouse. God wants to connect with you in the desert. The intimacy of the wilderness is a place of revelation. Lots of things happened in the wilderness. I love the story of Moses and the book of Exodus. And you remember about Moses when he was out tending sheep in the desert. And it tells us in Exodus 3, verses 1 through to 4, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" Moses had been here many times. He had walked these gravel paths. He had climbed the rocky outcrops. He had lived in this inhospitable place for a number of years, miles away from anywhere, and certainly a world away from the palatial surroundings that he grew up in Egypt. I wonder how often Moses, when he was in the wilderness, thought about his childhood, the busyness of the royal court, his hot-headed murder of the Egyptian and his flight to Midian. I wonder how often he lifted his eyes up to God and thought, "I wonder what might have been." And this day he lifted his eyes up and he saw a bush that was burning. Now this was a common enough occurrence in the desert. The intense heat of the desert would often have caused bushes to burst into flames. But because it was such a dry, arid place, that fire would often then burn out very, very quickly. But there's something different about this one. And his attention was grabbed by the bush. It tells us there in verse 3, it says, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight." Something grabbed his attention, and it resulted in an encounter with God. Because God said, it says in verse 4, it says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look." So when he stopped and looked and went towards the bush, God called him. Now, in our desert of isolation and social distancing here that we're in, what are you giving your attention to? God wants to speak, and he wants to reveal himself to you. And one thing I've learned over the years is that God usually speaks in ordinary things. Things that, if you like, are not the heavens opening and a booming voice. Not the big things, but in the subtleties, in the small things. In the occurrences that happen, but it's where we give our attention to them. It wasn't that the burning bush was unusual, but it was that it didn't burn out and that Moses gave it his attention. And in giving it his attention, God was able to speak to him. God is calling us to give our attention to what he's saying. Just to stop. To take this time now in this social isolation, to stop, to pay attention, and just like Moses, to draw aside. We know the story, don't we? We know how God called him then to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And in doing so, he then revealed his nature. He revealed his name. Because when Moses asked him then later on in that passage, "Who shall I say has sent me? What is your name?" He said, "My name is Yahweh, or Yahweh or Jehovah, which means I am who I am. God revealed something of himself when Moses drew aside to meet with him. Not just a label, not just a name, but he revealed his character. More than head knowledge or information, he encountered God and had a revelation of who God was. He had the revelation that this was a God who was all-sufficient, outside of time, always present and never past tense, because God is the God of the living and not the dead, the Bible tells us. The great I am who I am, the God who always is. You've got an opportunity during these times with a different rhythm, with a different routine, to stop, to give your attention to something more than just what's going on around you. It's always easier to pick up your phone, isn't it? It's so easy just to watch another episode of Netflix, to fill the vacuum with noise, to arrange a Zoom call or a FaceTime call, to do something different. But what a shame it would be if by the time we got to the end of all of this and we looked back and said, oh, it was great, I finished 2 box sets of Netflix. My garden never looked so good. I got really fit. And God is saying, come aside and be with me. There is a call, I believe. The bush is burning and God is calling. Have you noticed it? What are you giving your attention to? How is the world and how is God revealing himself to you during this period? The signals are everywhere. Approach him, and he loves to reveal himself to you. So I'd encourage you, over these next days, over these next weeks, what different rhythm can you bring into your life? How can you draw aside? Unhitched from the usual control that you have, having all the props removed, all the things that have occupied you have been taken away, let's try to get alone with God. In the silence where all voices but his are quieted. No struggling, no effort, no pressure, just to rest in his presence. Because it's not about works. One thing in this church we're really clear about, it's not about works, it's not about doing stuff, but it's about a relationship with a God who loves you and wants to reveal himself to you, who wants to change his relationship with you to one that is more intimate, to one like that husband. And just like in marriage, we grow in our relationship when we get to know each other better. That leads to intimacy and greater revelation of who we are and who God is. He was calling us to build a relationship with him, to build intimacy during this time and experience the revelation of God. I just want to remind you of what that said there in Hosea. It said, in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. I really believe with all my heart that this season, God is calling his church to draw near to him in the wilderness, to pay attention to what he is doing, to discover a new revelation of who he is, who you are, and what he is preparing his church for. It's a great opportunity. It's an outstanding opportunity that we have to meet with God. It's brilliant. And so I'd really encourage you, but particularly if you've never had the chance, you've never encountered God, what a great opportunity this is. Whenever our rhythm has changed, when everything has stopped, when you see something, take your attention to draw close to God, to listen to him. And I am completely convinced that as you draw near to God, he draws near to you and reveals himself to you. It's a great place to be. I absolutely love it. And I pray that really we would take this opportunity, because I really feel that God's speaking to us. And there's 3 key things that I want us to think about as we go from here. Is that change the rhythm of our life to listen for God, to seek him out, to encounter him. What are you giving your attention to? God wants to reveal himself to you. Take this opportunity, if you like, in the wilderness. That word for voice, for the word, that God will reveal himself to you. I'd love over the next few weeks maybe share how he'll reveal who you are, something of yourself to you. And then God will reveal the purpose that he has for you. But it'd be wrong for me to close here now and not to encourage you that if you've never had an encounter with God, you've never met him, you've never had that opportunity, that you take that opportunity now. He is a good God. He's not angry with you, he loves you, and he welcomes you in and wants you to be part of the family. I really pray that this has been a blessing to you. I have been so encouraged that God is on the move, that he is in control of all things, that nothing has taken him by surprise, that he is in charge of this situation. And in this, how will we leave? We will leave closer, more intimate, and called to God, knowing him better than we've ever known him before. So I pray that you have a really blessed week. I hope you're blessed where you are. God bless you, and thank you so much.
That was a brilliant talk, wasn't it? So good to have Phil with us. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to have a conversation. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Andrew.
You good?
Yeah, good.
Brilliant. I want to ask Phil just, we're going to have a bit of a chat about some of the stuff that he was talking about there. We've talked on the phone, obviously, because we've been socially distancing, just about what God is doing at times like this. And I find it really useful personally. Actually, I find it really has spoken to me. So we're just going to have a conversation about some of those main points, I think. And I really pray that you'll hear the Lord speaking to you, even just about some of the brilliant truth that we just heard there. So it is grateful that to have you along. Surviving lockdown, okay?
Yeah, hanging in there. Just, you know, doing a bit of landscaping out the back garden, trying to break up the odd fight, all the usual. You know, and okay. I need to keep myself busy in the right way, obviously,
after
what I've just said.
Yeah, after that brilliant talk about not being too busy, you don't want to say I'm absolutely chocker, no, right?
In the right way.
Yeah, so what were you doing in your garden, actually?
Well, I used to have this sort of area in the middle of the back garden, which... there's a long story. I built a waterfall like a few years ago, which took me probably, hell, I'll tell you 3 years, I'd say about 18 months, but to build it, it was a thing.
What was it, the Niagara Falls?
It was a thing of beauty of various iterations that I added to over time. And it was outstanding, just sitting there of a night, sound of the flowing water when it was working. It was great. But so I decided, though, there was trees around it and things, so I decided I would just clear the whole thing, dig it up, clear it to give the kids a bit more space in the back garden, play some games and a bit of football. So I just dug the whole thing up and chopped the trees down and leveled the garden.
Is this the thing, though, that you had a pump in it that would have pumped an Olympic-sized swimming pool?
I originally put a tank in that was relatively small, you know, and sort of put a pump in it, and this little like trickle water, which was the most pitiful, useless waterfall you've ever seen, was flowing down. I thought, right, what can I do here? So I thought, what can I get? I need a big tank. So I thought 1,200 litres, that should be big enough. So I thought about digging a thing and building a tank of water, but I had an absolute brainwave one night, so I got an old oil tank of a guy I knew who was building a house, getting rid of an oil tank. So I buried a hole, buried the oil tank in the ground, and filled it with water, and then bought a pump, and this thing would shift like gallons of water. So I switched it on for the first time. The water flew out of the tank far too fast, far too powerful from a water feature, flooded the whole garden. So I had to do various other modifications. But we got there in the end, and it was a bit of a grand design. Took me 3 years, and now it's gone. It's history. It's in a skip and away.
One of my favourite names for you, actually, is Have a Go Glasgow.
I'll give anything a lash.
Because you'll give it, absolutely. You'll give it a lash once, at least.
You better believe. There's something, but there's, for me anyway, there's something when I'm working and digging or doing something, there's something in that space of just that physical thing. I actually just find it really relaxing and working, and it's actually a time where I get a chance genuinely to probably think, to centre myself a bit and just to get on. And a good bit of hard manual labour did nobody any harm.
Absolutely.
As you can tell.
I mean, you can look like me if you do that. So I'm really interested, right? See, when we were chatting about... because I'll tell you what's happened. We chatted about 3 weeks ago, if you remember. Mm-hmm. It's probably etched into your memory. And we were talking about... It was. I think we were out for a walk at Mount Stuart with the kids, yeah? And it was just before lockdown, and we were saying, oh my goodness, what's this going to be like? We're going to have lots of time, because schedule-wise, we were discussing how busy we were, etc. I have been struck by how hard it is to slow down. Mm-hmm. So I remember having that conversation, and I remember saying to myself, almost with all good intention, there you're talking tonight about this is a time where we get to slow down a bit, hear what God is saying, and actually, I found that quite tough. Mm-hmm. Because in slowing down, I, I have felt, if I'm really honest, this pull to almost fill the void.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Do you know, I like it a bit too. You know when you go on holiday and you're flat out, I don't know if it's like for you, but say you go on a two-week holiday, it takes me probably traditionally like to the end of the first week before I feel like I'm starting to unwind. You know, and then you get that week and then you're going, oh, no, I have to get wound back up to go back into work again. Certainly the first couple of weeks of lockdown, it was a bit like that, I think. And everybody wondered, well, how do I do? What a good structure. And I realised, I listened to some really good teaching on this by Henry Cloud. He talked a bit around how we've lost structure, how we've lost control, how we've lost connection, and how the brain starts to go and it's sort of looking around for that structure because how we normally live, it's not there. And so your brain starts looking for security and all of that. So what tends to happen is we overcompensate for it and we try to put all these things in place to tell us that everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. But actually just putting a bit of structure in to give us freedom within that structure has been really helpful. Yeah. But it certainly took me a week or two to be able to get that place. Now, I am, as you know, I'm somebody I really quite enjoy being on my own and I enjoy a bit of solitude. So for me, so that's something that I really welcome. But I did find it hard to then, could I really stop? Could I go into a different gear? And now as we're sort of 3 weeks down the line, I'm starting to feel a whole different rhythm. Okay. And in that sense of just the ebb and flow. I suppose I'll do. I use my hand like this because it's almost like breathing it in, yeah. You know, and going and feeling it, and moving more with how things are happening, rather than me trying to impose my blueprint of what it should look like.
So here's the thing, right? So it's taken you 3-4 weeks to get to a stage where, because it is mad, isn't it? Mm. When life basically, it's just like this big button stop. And all of a sudden, you can't. I felt like I was going at the same pace almost in my head.
Yeah.
And then, but not with a lot of activity, but then quickly going, when you're starting to look, I was looking down the barrel of less work to do in my business, church looking very different, and almost this sense, I've got to fill it. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't got there yet. Okay. So even like Penny and I were talking, going, she was saying to me, even last night, okay, she was saying, I think it was 10 o'clock, I still had the laptop open. She was like, seriously, wise up. So what have you done? Tell me what you've done. Forget the camera. Tell me what you've done. You know, because I want to know that ebb and flow, but I don't think I'm there.
Yeah, do you know, actually, ironically, we laugh about my garden projects or doing stuff. That's been really important for me.
Yeah.
Because it's a different type of work. It's given me a focus, but a focus that wasn't something that was going to engage me in the same way that it was about work and activity, but there was an end to it. I think there's a fantastic book, but it's a bit like Sabbathing. I say it's a fantastic book by Marva J. Dawn, what a great name, called Keeping the Sabbath Holy. As
Marva
in Marva J. Dawn.
Sounds like a rap star.
It doesn't it, though? But she wrote this great book about keeping the Sabbath holy. You know, it's a bit cheesy because it's holy with a W-H-O-L-L-Y. But she talks about ceasing, resting, I'm going to get this wrong, celebrating and feasting. And this is the key thing. We think we can just jump straight into rest, but you can't. You've got to cease before you rest. And then as part of that Sabbath, you get to celebrate what you have and you feast and you enjoy it. And I actually think the first 3 weeks are about stopping stuff. And what is the stuff I need to stop? And then actually there's stuff though that you can do, other things that help you cease other, that you find rest in that activity.
That's good.
You know, I think that's key.
Yeah, because we try to do we almost try to get there like one day to the next, but you can't. So ceasing actually can take a bit of time. Mm.
And
it's not about stopping, it's about replacing.
Totally. Okay. And do you know, to think about how the Jewish Sabbath, they prepare for the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Don't they? They get everything ready. They do all their work on the day before. Yeah. They welcome the Sabbath in on the Friday night. Yeah. You're like, so Sabbath is sort of from sundown or the evening of the Friday through the evening of the Saturday, you know. Yeah. And so what they do is they prepare for that Sabbath meal. They light the candles. They have the meal together. They go where, so they get ready for it. Mm-hmm. And I think we can just press this button, stop, and all of a sudden step into rest. Yeah. I don't think we're wired like that. There's a bit of preparation. And so I really said, God, what are you saying?
Yeah.
And I really felt, as I was sharing earlier there, that God really wants to speak to us. He wants to reveal himself. But actually, you need to disconnect. You need to get into that sort of solitude, that quietness, but you got to prepare to get there. You can't just jump in there, because then your brain goes, well, what's happening? I can't cope with it. Mm-hmm. So I think that prep bit's really important.
That's good. That's good, because I have found, even like one day, you know, I'm sure you guys have even said at your house, like the kids saying, like, what day is it today? And we go on. Actually, it's like Groundhog Day. It's the same as every other day, I've been saying to myself. And, you know, I don't want to get to the end of this period, right? What you were saying earlier on there about in the wilderness, it's the same word as God speaking, right? I think last night, Penny and I, when we were chatting, I went, if I get out of this period of time, but I just replaced one kind of busyness with another kind, and I miss God speaking, you know, because I was replaying our conversation when we were on that walk. And she kind of, as she does, would remind me of what I had said. And I said, well, I didn't say it, Phil said it. So take it up with him. And it was his word. But that thing of going, actually, this is a time to hear what God is saying. It's like, I don't want to miss that, right? Because it could be a massive reset for all of us, couldn't it? I mean, totally. Because I don't think we're going to go back to normal. Whatever normal was, I think, is gone. Mm. And I don't know, looking forward, like, lots of things are going to change. There'll be lots of things that go back. I get this sense of, if we need to hear, maybe, you know, we need to hear what God is saying about the next months and years, because this is not just, it can't just be, you know, for nothingness. Yeah. Do you get me?
Do you know, I think even a general, before all of us, at a societal level, what our life was like, it was just so compressed.
Yeah.
Always on. And, you know, I do some, as you know, some executive coaching with people. And particularly when we're dealing or working with people who are, say, that sort of 30 to 40 age group, which is really 20s through to maybe 40, early 40s group. What I hear over and over again is that some of the biggest challenge is they want to be more efficient with their time. They feel like it all just blends into each other. That they sit and say, I'm really unproductive. I lose an hour just scrolling through various social media stuff, and then they do work at night, and then I sit up to midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning on a normal work, and I'll come into work and I'm really inefficient on this stuff. And the angst and the challenge of never getting on top of it, and constantly, I'd say, scrolling and trying to keep up with things, of creating this life that sits out there being more real than the life that I'm actually living. All of this stuff is all whirring around, and that's the life we were living. I think somehow on this, we've stopped and that's changed. And I absolutely believe that it's possible for us to reset. I think how we do church, how we do life together, what it means to connect and be human. We've got an opportunity here, but we absolutely could squander it on just Netflix and Joe Wicks, you know.
I probably need a wee bit more Joe Wicks, to be fair. If you said to Penny, are you squandering your time doing Joe Wicks? She'd say, it's the best investment that you're making. Did I tell you what I did, actually? True story. First day, Penny said, we're going to do Joe Wicks. So the girls, they're all up, ready to go. So I thought, I'm going to do what I always did at school. So I went into the living room, and Penny said, why are you dressed like that? And I went, sorry, miss, I forgot my PE kit. Can I be excused this morning? She went, get upstairs, get yourself dressed.
Brilliant.
She wouldn't let me away with it.
Did you have a note from your mum? No.
My mummy says I'm excused today. It's absolutely brilliant. We're going to have more conversation around this. I love this, the sense, even for us as a church, just being able to hit pause a little bit and go, what is God saying in the here and now?
Yeah.
And about this time, because we're feeding ourselves well, we're working through our devotionals, and but there's something in the middle of it where I go, there's actually that sort of still, you know, and I guess the thing about wilderness, right, is everything is stripped away. Mm. Everything that's normal, whatever normal was for those guys coming out of Egypt, I guess, and going, there was nothing, you know, everything that they had grown up with over generations is taken away. And it's a wee bit like that right now.
Yeah.
And so I think just in finishing, how, you know, what do you think? What would be the, if you were saying to me, Andrew, all right, don't miss the opportunity. Right? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. Mm-hmm. Or for all of us, don't miss the opportunity for what God is saying right now. I mean, what do you think we should do, like, tomorrow? What, you know?
Do you know, I was thinking,
I know,
about,
it's personal, right? It is personal, but...
But you're right. There's a huge opportunity here, I think, to reconnect with God and reconnect with ourselves. And I think it goes in that order. Reconnect with God, then we can reconnect with ourselves and who we are, and that enables us and frees us to reconnect with the world. I think that it's very definitely in that order. But just taking time. And the one thing I said, what real at a real practical level, don't put yourself under pressure, do you know? But what I would almost like an encourage, I was going to say challenge there, to people to do like a bit like a, you know, your challenge, whatever, but is, can you switch everything off and be silent? And just say, I'm here, God, to meet with you. And just don't fear silence. Take the props away. Because we want to fill the vacuum, as you were saying so often. And just be there in silence. And don't expect the heavens to open. And just be comfortable enough and just sit in that place. Just stop.
It's like holding that tension. We've talked about it before. Yes. There's like a tension there, isn't there? Because all of a sudden, there's stuff inside that we have buried a wee bit. Mm. But maybe that's a brilliant start. Maybe, I mean, everyone who's watching, just take some time. Yeah. Even, you know, if we're honest with ourselves and we're filling it, take some time just to be silent, be still. And I've got one question before we're finished. I love that. We'll talk more about this. This is good. But you said there you do some executive coaching, right? Do you actually say that you're Dr. Phil? What do people think when they turn up and they go, that's not Dr. Phil? I thought I was getting the one off the telly. What do you say to them?
Yeah, well, I just gave up with my sort of Texan drawl and the moustache. I just thought, yeah.
And you're about 14 stone lighter than Dr. Phil, to be fair. I could probably, if I had a moustache, I could probably get away with it.
Yeah, but, definitely. You know, Oprah's been good to me. You know?
Well, listen, Phil, great to chat tonight.
Yeah, really
it's
good.
Been good. And, you know, we're going to hear lots more from you, hopefully. And, you know, and good luck with the gardening.
Oh, it's going
to be actually, we should be sending Heather. You know, is there anything Heather needs right now?
Well, our delivery of grass seed that I ordered 2 weeks ago has arrived yet. So
just to get it finished.
Grass seed.
Grass seed.
Pray for grass seed.
Grass seed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Brilliant. Thank you so much.